is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Xi Jinping, the General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party, making remarks before 2,300 and more of his acolytes about the future, mentioning again and again stormy seas, talking with metaphor about conflict, about war. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, is my colleague and co-host, and we're very pleased to be joined by James Fennell. Jim Fennell, he's a government fellow at the Geneva Center for Security Policy, retired U.S. Navy, captain who served as Director of Intelligence and Information Operations at the U.S. Pacific Fleet. Jim, I ask your help reflecting back about when you first recognized this warlike temperament in China, and when you first understood that Xi Jinping was the man to act as a dictator to take his country to war. Did that come up in the conversations in the Navy ten years ago when he first became leader? Did the Navy worry about China possibly going in that direction over these last decades? Good evening to you, Jim.
Good evening, Gordon and John. Thank you so much for the invitation. I think my first alertment to this was in 1999, 2000, when we saw the first inkling of the PRC's military modernization program. And throughout the decade of the 2000, the first 10 years, we used to talk a lot about military modernization, but there was still a lot of skeptics in Washington that weren't really convinced that it was anything more than just what a normal growth of a nation that had been so deprived of economic development under Mao. And so they were just naturally doing this. And I don't think it was until actually we started seeing them do what they did at Scarborough Shoal in 2012, and then to see them build these islands in the South China Sea concurrent with the military modernization that really started to get people's attention. And that all coincided with Xi coming to power in late 2012, early 2013. And so I think people have started to recognize that, but it's a big institution, the U.S. Department of Defense and the Navy. And I think it took much longer than I had hoped that it would have taken for us to get our hands around the fact that we're now being confronted with a juggernaut in the guy of Xi and his PLA that's really showed us on October or August 4th through the 7th what their true plans are. And what we saw with that missile firing in the bracketed Taiwan and the surrounding of the island with this military exercise for three or four days was something that for me was a dress rehearsal for the PLA on how they're going to attack Taiwan. And now with Xi giving his speech at the 20th Party Congress saying that we've taken Macau, we've taken Hong Kong, and now we'll take Taiwan. I mean, it just, the drum beats are if you're not listening, then you must be deaf.
Gordon, you have a question for Jim.
I guess that means, Jim, that the Pentagon is deaf. We have an Air Force which is wants to take F-22s and A-10s out of service. We have a Navy that is taking Aegis cruisers out of service because they believe that if there's going to be war with Taiwan, it won't be until the end of this decade or perhaps into next decade. There seems to be, especially among the 3 and 4 stars, a lack of sense of urgency of this. And what we've heard from Xi Jinping, I think, I hope would disabuse them, but I'm not exactly sure. I did take some hope that our Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, in the last 24 hours has talked about an accelerated time frame. But I still get the sense that at the upper reaches of the Navy and the Pentagon, there still is an unreality about conversations about China. Your comments.
Yeah, Gordon, I agree with you. And I think what it is a sense of defeatism. I remember having a conversation in the Pentagon back in 2007 with a senior executive service person. And the gist of the conversation was, he said, Jim, why are you fighting so hard? It's inevitable. They're going to grow bigger than us. They have more people and we are declining. And so we have to manage this. And so I feel like that the echelons of leadership inside our government, especially in the DOD and at State Department, have bought into this idea that America's elites have to manage the decline of the United States as an empire, much like the British did in the 20th century. And I'm not in favor of that at all. I think if we turn our nation over and what we stand for and our values of freedom and liberty that have benefited the world. We turn that over to the Xi Jinping and the Chinese Communist Party. We're going to be living under a thumb that we cannot imagine. We got a taste of it in COVID with these lockdown restrictions and mandates. It'll be 1,000 times worse if we turn over our freedom and liberty to the Chinese Communist Party and their authoritarian rule. I mean, it's more than authoritarian. It's totalitarian. It's fascist. It's slavery. And so that's why we should be fighting with everything in our power. And that's why I don't understand, like you, why it is our senior leaders in the military who in private say they understand the threat, but are not willing to sacrifice themselves and offer up their careers to say, I'm not going to stand by and watch a budget submission that takes the U.S. Navy from 297 ships to 280 at the time that we know that China is going up to 500 to 600 ships. It's crazy.
John, if I may jump in, we should tell the audience that Captain Fennell was one who, at great personal sacrifice, was warning the Navy and others about the China threat. And here is a real American hero, somebody who, at great detriment to his own career, sounded the warning. This is a Paul Revere.
Jim, let's go to what happened in the 30s and what happens now. The powers, France and Britain, conceded Anschluss, conceded Austria, saying, well, they're all German-speaking. Then they conceded Czechoslovakia, the Sudetenland, and then all of Czechoslovakia. They did not resist. In fact, they just stepped out of the way. The powers, NATO, is not stepping out of the way in Ukraine. Has that given China pause that it's not going according to the plan of the 30s?
I think, John, that what we're seeing with the Ukraine and this NATO response is telling Xi and the PLA that they need to refine their plan. I don't know if it's paused their timeline. I believe that they're on a timeline and that their timeline is going to be in this decade. And I'm more convinced than ever that it's going to be closer, as Gordon mentioned, Secretary of State Blinken just mentioned that he thinks it's closer to 2027, like we've heard from the PACOM commander, Admiral Davidson. We've heard 2025 from the Taiwan Minister of Defense. And given all the demographic challenges that they have in domestic U.S. politics and their activities and the rhetoric and the capabilities that they possess, while we're diverted in our attentions and our resources to the Ukraine, what better time for them to take an action right now? And so I'm really worried that we're not paying attention to two-theater war that we said we gave up that capability many, many years ago, which we inherited from World War II. And so your question, though, is Xi and the PLA deterred or delayed because of what they've seen? And my assessment is that they use comprehensive national power, and they're studying in detail everything that's worked and not worked for Putin and the Russian army in the Ukraine. And they're getting a lesson here on how to conduct a war against Taiwan. That's a free lesson for them that they get to study how American and NATO forces respond operationally and tactically.
I just want to make sure I heard you correctly. 2027, 5 years. Is that the timeline you see right now, Jim?
I think it could be before 2025. Given everything that we're seeing.
James Fennell, government fellow at the Geneva Center for Security Policy, retired U.S. Navy captain, served as director of intelligence and information operations, U.S. Pacific Fleet. Gordon Chang, writing at Gatestone Newsweek and The Hill. I'm John Batchelor.